This morning we're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We're continuing our studies in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to read one of the verses today that is probably better known than many in Scripture, verse 33 and verse 34. A few years ago, our young people sang as a chorus, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now we want to dwell on verse 33 today. "But," our Lord says, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we bow before you, and we thank you for the full provision of divine grace. Thou hast blessed us abundantly. Thou hast made known unto us the person of thy Son. We thank you that he's the one who reigns, and he reigns in majesty. The Lord is enthroned in the heavens, the Lord reigneth. We ask you in a special way this morning for the needs that are before us. We have mentioned Mrs. Cooper. We think of our brother George Petty, and you know his need. We think of the granddaughter, Pam's daughter, who seems to be having some difficulty. And we just ask you to graciously undertake. We thank you that when we come into your presence, we have to acknowledge that your way is perfect. We also acknowledge that we don't always understand your way, but we know that thou art gracious and thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Dear others on our hearts, we think of our brother Jim Alexander in Raleigh. We think of Miss Sutton in her own meeting. We think of the other Miss Sutton, Mr. Sutton's sister-in-law, who's exceedingly ill. We think of Roy's father-in-law. We think of Jenny Smith and others. What a delight to pray one for another and to know that in this group there are those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And therefore we can expect thee to graciously hear us in behalf of one another. So with grateful hearts, we just ask you now to use this time profitably that we may see what this text really says, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in verse 25, and goes to the end of the chapter, our Lord is dealing with something in the lives of his people that is very noticeable many times in all of us. It is that subject known as anxiety. You see, and it's in the verses that are before us that we read, verses 33 and 34, that we come to the conclusion of the matter. And our Lord is dealing with anxiety, being anxious over things that would rob us of the joy of resting in him. So when he comes to the conclusion, our Lord simply says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It is the heathen who set their hearts upon material necessities and comforts. Our Lord says in this portion, don't be like the heathen. You see, let a nobler, a more essential, an infinitely more satisfying object engage your attention and engage your energy. Don't be like the heathen. Now, if God is given the proper place in our lives and in our hearts, we'll never be losers in this world. Yeah, only by giving God his proper place in our hearts and lives will we as his people be able to form a true estimate of things of time and sense? Things are fleeting. Oh, we sing it in hymns and we say it in our poetry, but it's very true. Now, where there is this blessed realization that God is for us, when I learned this lesson, God is always for me. God is never against me. Do I really believe that? I have a dear friend in Raleigh. His name is Jim Alexander. Our friend Neil knows Jim Alexander well. Godly man. A man who has the gift of health. This past year, he buried his mother. A little while after that, he buried his wife. And his wife looked forward to the birth of their first grandchild. That daughter was born not this past week, but the week before. The daughter lived 2 days, and the Lord took the baby home. Jim had to go to another funeral. I don't know the answers, friends. I don't have the answers. I don't profess to have them. But I know that God loves Jim Alexander as much as he loves his son. And I know that God is always for us. He is never against us. And he's speaking to us in text here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where this is a blessed realization that God is for us. When I learn that he is all sufficient, a spirit of rest and contentment floods the soul. We are contented and restful in God's presence. Now, where faith is an exercise, there is a conscious communion with God. Anxiety cannot cast us down. An anxiety over things often occupies the people of God. Now, we have to define the terms that are in this great verse. A lot of people sing this verse. And if you were to ask them, what are the things that God is talking about in the verse? They couldn't tell you. Well, there are the things that we discussed in 3 previous Lord's days together as we studied the Sermon on the Mount that we're not to be anxious about. But now let us define our terms. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Notice the first term that we must define. The kingdom of God. What is it? You remember our Lord said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In our text here, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, the kingdom of God is a state in this life whereby believers enjoy through Christ the favor of God. And we also have a title to everlasting glory and joy. That is the kingdom of God. And God rules in his kingdom. And he rules in the hearts of his people as a king rules in his kingdom. Our God is king. We sing occasionally, rejoice, the Lord is king. Our Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. And triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice again, I say rejoice. The kingdom of God. But now, since we see that the king rules in the heart of those who have entered his kingdom, as a king rules in a kingdom, now we come to the word, his righteousness. We are not only commanded to seek first, that means priority, the kingdom of God, but we are to seek his righteousness, and then we have the words, and all these things shall be added unto you. In our text, the words, his righteousness, they stand by way of explaining what the kingdom of God is. For you see, the kingdom of God stands in righteousness. Everything that God does is righteous and holy and just. Romans 14 verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." In other words, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not material possession. It is not meat and drink." The things that we're anxious about in the context of our text in Matthew chapter 6. The kingdom of God is not that. But the kingdom of God is something. It is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, by the term the righteousness of God, and it's a term that is used constantly in Scripture, to understand this term righteousness, and I'm going to spend the rest of the morning on this term righteousness, to understand it, we must understand two things: imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Now, when we examine the verses concerning the kingdom of God, and except a person is born of God, he cannot enter the kingdom, he cannot see the kingdom, and since the kingdom of God is meat and is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and since we're commanded in our text to seek it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that people are anxious about and don't attain or obtain, you and I can have it. All these things shall be added unto you. And it's found in that one word, contentment. Now, first of all, let's deal with imputed righteousness. To understand the doctrine of imputed righteousness is to have what the hymn said, written by Fanny Crosby: "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Now, it's very obvious that we need a righteousness that is provided by God himself. And this is what justification by faith is all about. And this is what justification by faith gives to the believer. And this is what the Apostle Paul wanted, according to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to turn to this passage so that we can understand it well. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 7. Now let me say something about the first six verses. The first six verses of Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells about how righteous he was before God imputed his righteousness to him. He talks about his righteous acts and ways as a Pharisee. But when you come to verse 7, we go to Wall Street. We go to the marketplace. We go to the place of profit and loss. And I want you to notice the contrast. He says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." In other words, in this passage, the things that most people want, Paul had. Saul of Tarsus had as a religious Pharisee. But now he sees things in a new light since being brought into the kingdom of God. And he says, "What things were gained to me, the things that people are anxious about, that they labor to get, I count them all lost for Christ." Next he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, or dung, that I may win Christ." Notice verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, when Paul talks about that, that he might have the righteousness which is of God by faith, he is talking about imputed righteousness. You see, as a Pharisee, he had a righteousness of his own. But Paul wanted a righteousness that is supplied by God. Now this subject of imputed righteousness is that which gives you and me a righteous, acceptable standing in the very presence of God. And that's what we're talking about. You see, it is justification by faith that means imputed righteousness. When I believe on Jesus Christ, the very righteousness of Christ, which he earned by his perfect obedience to the law of God, is imputed to my account. That's what we mean when we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Or Ludwig Zinzendorf, I don't remember the first name, Ludwig Zinzendorf, great hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. In flaming worlds, with these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head, for bold shall I stand in that great day. For who aught to my charge can lay? Fully absolved through Christ I am from sin's eternal curse and blame. Ah, friends, imputed righteousness. This is what Paul wanted. You see, God sees our hearts. God looks on the inside. And God's standard is absolute. God will never lower his standard to receive a proud Pharisee. And God will never lower his standard to receive a proud preacher. And God will never lower his standard to receive a proud president. God's standard is absolute. It is the same for all men, no matter what their station in life is. God is never impressed with a position of man. We might be, but God isn't. God's standard is absolute. It is the same for everybody. Now, imputed righteousness is what Paul wanted. That I may be found in him. He says, not having my righteousness, but having his. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that righteousness is an imputed righteousness. Now, imputed righteousness is defined for us in the Word of God. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. One of those great verses of Scripture. And this 21st verse says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now notice, there is double imputation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, there's double imputation. At the cross on Calvary's Hill, God imputed our sins to Christ. That's imputation. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And our sins were imputed to Christ at Calvary. He became what he was not by imputation. God imputed our sins to Christ. But then, when I come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the very righteousness of God is imputed to me. Oh, the hymn writer put it so well. In the Beloved, I went to the tree. There in his person, by faith I can see infinite wrath rolling over his head, infinite grace, for he died in my stead. You see, my sins were imputed to Christ. But that day that I was saved, Christ's righteousness was imputed to me. For you see, before I can ever stand in the presence of God and say, our Father, who art in heaven, I must have a righteous standing before God to be able to call him my Father. And the only way I can have it is through the righteousness of Christ being imputed to me. Seek ye first, that's priority, friends. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. I must be positively holy. Now when I believe on Jesus Christ, his work for me, he imputes his righteousness to my account. And this morning, we, those who have trusted Christ, stand in the presence of God, absolutely righteous, because we stand in the righteousness of another. That's what Paul wanted. Philippians 3 verse 9. Not having my own. Oh, we can boast of our this and our that, but it's nothing in the presence of God. God isn't impressed at all. But I need His. His righteousness. His righteousness alone. So that Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Imputed righteousness. May I ask you a question? Do you have it? Oh, do you have that? Seek ye first. Here's the only way anyone will ever stand before God. He has to have the righteousness of Christ. Now, you can belong to every church in the city, and if you don't have that, you have nothing. And you can come here every Sunday to all the meetings, and if you don't have the righteousness of Christ, you have nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness is, first of all, an imputed righteousness. It is imputed to the account of those who believe on Jesus Christ. It's ours by faith. That's why Romans chapter 4, verse 25, says, He was delivered for our offenses, but was raised again because of our justification. And the next verse, chapter 5 and verse 1 of Romans says, therefore, being justified by faith, being declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Remember the second time we had our brother John Riesinger with us, the final night, and he told that great story about this man from the Indian Town Gap Gospel Center in Pennsylvania, where John would go and have meetings, and he preached the gospel there. And years later, John was in Lancaster at Lancaster Bible College, and here this fellow came up. He now had a beard, and he said to John, do you remember me? And John said, I'm sorry, I don't. Well, he said, it's been a number of years. He said, but I was a serviceman at Indian Town Gap when I came in the meeting. And he said, that night you took a black hymn book and you illustrated imputed righteousness. From Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on the Messiah, in the person of Christ, the iniquity of us all. And that night you said, you made the hymn book represent sin. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him. That's Christ. This hand is Christ, this hand is me. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, our sins imputed to Christ. And then Christ, when we believe, imputes righteousness to us. Said, that night, I saw what Christ had done for me. And he said, that night, I was saved. That night, he saw what Christ had done for him. Imputed righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But then, there is imparted righteousness. Imparted righteousness. Now, imparted righteousness is the result of the new birth. It is the result of the new birth. I not only have righteousness imputed to me, legally, before God, but I also have it imparted in me as a seed. That's what is called the new nature. Birth determines nature. And you see, that seed grows and develops. That's what we have in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for It is God who worketh in you. God worketh in you. God has planted his seed within us. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who worketh in you. You see, this is imparted righteousness. That very righteousness which has been imputed to us has also been imparted to us as seed, and the seed develops. That's why our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You see, a righteous work has been done within. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We don't have this by our own activity. We have it by divine grace. God has provided it in Christ. We simply receive it by faith. And where we have imputed righteousness, we also have imparted righteousness. That's why those who are truly the Lord follow in righteousness. Now, I'd like to draw this to a conclusion real quickly, but I'd like to say a number of things. When this righteousness is imputed to our account, and when this righteousness is within a person as seed, and they both take place at once, when we're saved, when we're bought and acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior, what does this do for me now? What are the results of that in this life, right now? You see, our Lord is talking about anxiety in our text. Seek ye first, that's priority, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What does it do for me today? November 19th, 1989. What will it do for me today? Well, first of all, it gives us a sense of confidence because it provides assurance. It gives me the realization that I have a perfect standing before God. Not because I say it, but because God says it. God tells me in his word, I have a perfect standing before God. And that gives me confidence, and it gives me assurance. And I can sing the third stanza of Fanny Crosby's hymn, Blessed Assurance, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. I have a confidence. I am his, and he is mine. Do you have it? Do you have that assurance? But then it does something else. It deals with me in the area of my feelings. I can't trust my feelings. I have to have something that's objective, not subjective. You see, some days I don't feel safe. Some days I feel rotten. How about you? If you don't, you're different. I'll tell you that. But what about the days you don't feel so hot? And you don't feel good? And you're unhappy? What about those days? I can't trust my feelings, but what can I trust? I can trust the work of Christ and the word of Christ. And in this area of feeling, I'm not saved because I feel good. I'm saved because of the work of Christ, and his righteousness has been imputed to my account. And the seed has been imparted in me. And whether I feel good or whether I feel bad, I'm saved. That's what it does for me today. But there's a third thing in experiences. You see, I may have some bad experiences and I may have some good experiences. But in the area of experience, I have learned something. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 tells me that because Christ's righteousness has been imputed to me, I am complete in Christ. And you can't add anything to completeness, can you? I'm not complete in my feelings. I'm not complete in any area except Christ. It's all in Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But more than that, in the area of discouragement. Are you ever discouraged? Ha ha. Often we get discouraged. You see, your own activity is bound to let you down. But you see, when I look away from what our blessed Lord did for me, you see, it may be a time of discouragement. Things may not be going well, but I know that all is well with heaven, and I am eternally linked to the Lord of glory. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who has declared him righteous. But more than that, in the area of spiritual depression, oh, there come times like you have in the 42nd Psalm. The psalmist cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" We come to the Word of God, and I find that here I have that which stays the heart. A knowledge of His righteousness imputed to me and imparted within me. But then, in dealing with the accuser, Satan, in dealing with him, to have the imputed righteousness of Christ, he may whisper, "You're not the Lord. Look at the evil thoughts you had, even when you were praying." Ever get evil thoughts when you pray? I do. I find that my mind can wander when I pray. You may not have thought I'd say that, but it's the truth. The enemy knows how to attack, friends. But I can deal with the accuser. God says, "Philip, I have loved you. I've imputed your sin to Christ. And I've imputed Christ's righteousness to you. And I've put His righteousness as the seed within you. You're mine. How about it? Is He yours?" That's what our text is talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, these little trivial things. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Where's next month's pay coming from? All these things will be added onto you. Is this reality to you? Let's sing one stanza, 394. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You see, the kingdom of God is coming. And you and I have the assurance of its coming now, if we're in Christ. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is reality, friends. And if it isn't reality with you, all make it by simply believing in Christ, receiving Him as Lord and Savior. Let's stand and sing one stanza, the first.
Righteousness of thy dear Son. We never could earn it, but He did. We never could obtain it by our own activity, but he freely gives it, for by grace that he saved. And now we just commend this company to thee, dismiss us with your blessing. Upon thine own that have truly believed in thee, may each one go to their separate home, with a knowledge of imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness, and the joy of being in the kingdom where righteousness rules supreme. But if there are any that have not believed in thee, accompany them with divine restlessness. May they know neither joy nor peace until they sweetly rest in Christ. And unto thee will give the honor and the glory and the praise through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.